Mr. Summerskill, you have 4 minutes of rebuttal time, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Okay, you may start when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Michael Summerskill on behalf of Appellants Precision Planting and AGCO.
Am I right in understanding that it gets lots of patents and lots of IPRs, a lot of words, thousands of words?
Yeah, you are, Your Honor.
If you can't convince us that the board erred in the way it understood the law, this is combining references with a reasonable expectation of success. If we agree that the board didn't make a legal error and how it looked at the law, the case reduces itself to a substantial evidence case, doesn't it?
Because it's experts.
You've got one expert said, oh, wouldn't have been reasonable and reasonable expectation of success. The other one said the other.
Your Honor, if you find there's no error of law, then I would agree with you it is a case of substantial evidence.
And that's a high hill for you to climb.
It is a high hill,
okay,
Your Honor.
That's just, thank you very much.
But we do believe the board made errors of law. And let me go to what I would submit as the core legal issue that we believe the PTAB got wrong. The board didn't dispute that the prior art disclosed all of the elements of all of the challenged claims. Instead, it concluded that a skilled artisan could not figure out how to make the brush belt in our combination work, despite the fact that the Deer challenge patents themselves, which provide only a high-level description of how to configure a brush belt, effectively presume that one of skill could figure it out. And we'd submit, Your Honor, that in reaching that conclusion, the board did two things. It ignored the basic modifications that KSR presumes a skilled artisan can make, and it held the prior art to a higher standard than to the challenge patents themselves, in contrast to this court's findings in the public cover, Epstein, and Uber cases. So let me start. Now, as Your Honor referenced, there are a lot of different IPRs, a lot of different combinations. I'm going to focus on the Hedderwick, Banach, Koenig combination because I think the errors we submit were made there are representative across the appeals. Now, as to the Koenig part of the combination, the board's finding that a skilled artisan would not have been motivated to apply the teachings of Koenig to the combination because it would have required reorienting the brush belt to receive seeds from above versus below, we submit relies on a misstatement of the obviousness standard. As this court held in its en banc In re Etter decision, obviousness does not limit the prior...
You've got a page in the opinion where they're making this misstatement?
Your Honor?
Appendix site somewhere?
Yeah, the...
Which one of the multiple IPRs?
Understood, Your Honor. The board... the board's decision... And I'm looking for the particular... cite on the above. I don't have handy the above below page, Your Honor, but what the board said is that a person of ordinary skill in the art wouldn't reorient the component from above to below. And again, the obviousness is not limited to the precise physical configuration of the prior art references. You have to look at the teachings of the prior art as a whole. And the undisputed record here establishes Hedderwick and Holt both disclosed flighted belts.
Why does that statement suggest that the board made a legal error rather than just they factually found in this circumstance that they wouldn't do it?
Because, Your Honor, under KSR, as Your Honors know, if you're applying...
No, I get it. You don't have to kind of mechanistically jam the two references together. But that doesn't mean that automatically you can mix and match if a person wouldn't do it. What you read to us sounds to me like a factual finding that in this case, a person wouldn't have done it. And is it supported by substantial evidence?
And the reason...
You plucked that sentence out of context. If we can't look at it, it's hard to tell whether they misinterpreted the law or just making a factual statement that you disagree with?
Your Honor, the reason why we don't believe it's substantial evidence is because when you're taking known elements...
So you're flipping to substantial evidence now. It's not, that statement is not indicative of a legal error.
No, I think the statement is indicative of a legal error, Your Honor, and here's why. It's undisputed that we're talking about a combination of old elements and using them with the same function that they're used in the prior art. So the combination...
Where does it show, that statement, that the board doesn't understand you can take disparate elements and put them together even if they don't work in an actual physical thing?
I don't
think the board misunderstands that. I think that they were making a factual finding that even if you can theoretically mix disparate elements, because of the nature of the brush and the potato one and the brush and the seed plant, that in this particular circumstance, someone wouldn't have done it. That's a substantial evidence issue. The prior is a legal issue.
Two reasons, respectfully, Your Honor, I would disagree with you. So the board, you know, you asked for one of the board statements. This is Appendix 30, which is in the 663 final written decision, where the board found the proposed combination does not simply apply...
Where are we on page 30?
I'm sorry?
Where are we on page 30? Above, moreover, or below?
You know, Your Honor, because there's so many different pages, I don't have the specific page. I've got the quote.
It's the top of the page.
Thank you, Your Honor. It says, the proposed combination does not simply apply a known technique to a known device because Banach does not describe using a paddle wheel to guide seeds into the bristles of a brush belt. So obviousness does not require the prior combination to already show Banach used with a brush belt. Obviousness does not require the brush belt to be already used to receive seeds from above. That's the whole essence of obviousness. And so, Your Honor, the reason we would submit this was a legal error is because the combination only required replacing one type of known belt, a flooded belt, with another type of known belt, a brush belt, in a known configuration, i.e. receiving seeds from above, and for the same function of delivering seeds precisely. The board itself found that the Koenig belt and the Hedowick and Holt belts have the same function of delivering seeds precisely. And so under KSR, when you have known elements and you're using them for a known function, there's obviousness. And so that Your Honor...
I don't understand how that quotation you plucked out shows that the board has legally erred. I mean, part of that quotation is just responding to something that is quoting your petition. And then it goes on at the end of the paragraph to say, petitioner does not persuasively explain how or why an ordinarily skilled artisan would use a paddle wheel to guide seeds into an endless member that is a brush belt. That sounds like a factual determination to me.
Well, Your Honor, respectfully, in both the Wires cases and the Graham cases, what we're talking about here is straightforward mechanical elements. In the Wires case that we cited in our brief, this court affirmed a finding that it was obvious to combine components of a prior art towing system, even where you had to reorient a component from vertical to horizontal. Okay? In the Deere v. Graham...
Believe me, if you had won this case and the board had said, yes, it's obvious to combine these elements, even if they don't physically work in the same way, we would be in a substantial evidence world where you win. You're trying to convince me that it's a legal error, and there's not even a discussion of the legal standards in any part of this portion you're pointing us to. So you're asking us to infer that they're applying the wrong legal standard instead of just making a factual statement or a factual conclusion that you disagree with.
Well, Your Honor, I don't think so because, again, they found that because Banach was not already used with a brush belt, it couldn't be obvious. And Your Honor,
in this case.
Correct.
Of
course in this case, right.
Is this your best example of a legal error? Can you point? We've got close to 300 pages of decisions here, and I
Yes, Your Honor.
You know, I didn't see a section in your brief where you just said here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, here are the legal errors.
Fair enough, Your Honor. Let me turn to the specific findings on reasonable expectation of success. I think this is another area where the court erred. It found there was no reasonable expectation of success because of purported problems with configuring a brush belt in the combination. And we submit that was legal error because it's inconsistent with the Deere challenged patents themselves. The claims of the Deere patents indisputably cover the use of a brush belt. It's the preferred embodiment. Yet the Deere patents contain only a minimal disclosure of how you configure a brush belt. The patents don't contain any discussion of the purported problems that Deere discussed. They don't propose any solutions. They merely instruct a skilled artisan to use a brush belt and presume they could figure it out. And notably, and I think you see this in some of the cases we cited, Deere isn't claiming any breakthrough with the brush belt in its patents. They say the endless member can be any continuous belt that forms a loop, and they leave it to a person of ordinary skill.
Clarify, you switched to a completely different basis now. If we disagree with you on the combination that you were talking about, why does this matter? Do you say that it's a part and parcel of the same thing?
I'm not getting to the claim construction fight here, right, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that the endless member isn't what they claimed is the novel point of this invention. They said use an endless member, use a brush belt, and they leave it to a person of ordinary skill in the art.
I guess what I'm struggling is you're talking about all these very specific factual findings, and you're asking us to infer from factual findings that the board didn't understand the law. Is there any place where you can point to where the board actually stated what it thought the law was that you think is incorrect?
Well, Your Honor, the board made findings that in our view are inconsistent with the law of obviousness. And on this point that I want to get to here, we set forth a chart in our reply brief, pages 17 to 18, that showed the disclosure of brush belt in the Deere patents next to the disclosure of the brush belt in the prior art. Critically, and this is why I think it's not...
Why isn't this still a substantial evidence argument? Isn't it that under your view of this, no reasonable person could ever conclude that it was not obvious, so therefore there's no substantial evidence? It sounds to me that that's what you're saying.
That's not what...
We get this argument all the time when you want to transform substantial evidence cases into legal issues to get a de novo review.
Your Honor, that's not what we're arguing. In this specific case, Deere's expert testified that the very sparse disclosure of how to configure a brush belt in the Deere patents was sufficient to enable one of skill in the art to configure brush belt. If that's good enough for the challenge patents, that should be good enough for the prior art. But the board instead implied a higher and improper standard to the prior art. Even though the prior art discloses the same amount with respect to configuring a brush belt as do the challenge patents, the board found it wasn't enough. And under this court's findings in the public cover, Epstein, and Uber cases, that was a legal error. And I think I'll just highlight the public cover case. I realize my time is running short. That it was a case that involved detecting different forms of eye movement. The patentee argued there that the prior art didn't sufficiently disclose how to enable detecting one form of eye movement, and the court rejected that, saying your own specification only defines that type of eye movement, never describes it. Therefore, that argument is wrong. That's what we have here. The prior art is being held to a higher standard than the Deere patents themselves, and that, Your Honor, is why we believe this is a legal error versus substantial evidence.
Counselor, you're into your rebuttal time. Would you like to reserve some time?
I would. If I could make one last point.
Sure.
What I would put to the court is, what is the factual disagreement? When their expert says the level of disclosure in the Deere patents is enough to enable, and that's the same level of disclosure in the prior art, and our expert says that level of disclosure is enough in the prior art, there's not a factual dispute there. What you have is a legal error. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rainey.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court, Richard Rainey for Deere. This is a substantial evidence case. After years of research and development, Deere's engineers made a breakthrough invention. They protected that invention through several U.S. patents. In Precision Planting's challenges, the board made factual findings that a person of ordinary skill in the art would not have been motivated to select Koning's brush belt and substitute it for the flighted belt in Hedewig and Holt, and would not have expected that combination to succeed. Those findings are supported by significant testimony from our expert, from the documents, that expert testimony was credited by the board, and the testimony of our adversary was found to be conclusory and simplistic. Just a few points in response to the points counsel made.
So the whole case turns on the fact that Koenig's brush belt's in the wrong place. The patent enables a brush belt, says everybody knows how to use a brush belt. Everybody knows how to configure a brush belt to get the job done, to collect the seeds and hold them exactly right place and drop them in the hopper, right?
Well, so there's three points in response. First, our whole case doesn't turn on configuration of a brush belt. It's a combination of elements in our claimed invention. And importantly, what's been left out of this discussion is the lengthy disclosure of this combination of elements, which included a loading wheel and a nip in which the seed is loaded into the brush belt from above. What was completely missing from the prior art is found by the board and supported by the documents and the expert testimony was any teaching of using a brush belt to load seeds from above
Prior art does show loading seeds from below.
No, it doesn't show loading seeds from below. It shows in Koenig a conveyor, which is, as the testimony showed, holding most of the weight of the potatoes. The brush belt sitting on top is keeping
the... Why would a person skilled in the art say, well, instead of coming in from below, maybe I should come in from the top?
Right. I mean, that's the argument they make. It's a simple matter of flipping it around, but that's not what the testimony was before the board. And the board made findings that, first of all, a person of ordinary skill in the art would not be motivated to pull the brush out of Koenig from the top, separate from its conveying element below.
So is your expert saying, well, nobody, as a posita, I never would flip the location of the brush belt?
I think he has many points of testimony.
Right, but I mean, that's in particular, he says, I wouldn't change the orientation of the brush belt.
The person who works on the art would not change the orientation of the brush belt in Koenig and flip it around to
right.
To,
and
to
so for them to win, they just have to say, your expert is crazy.
Yeah, our expert is not crazy. Was accredited by the board. Yes. So the point being, there is plenty of disclosure in the Deere patent that shows how this combination works using a brush belt. And the fact of the matter is, Deere was the first to come up with that orientation, none of the prior art references that were out there showed anything close to that.
Is that partially because in Koenig, the potatoes, even if they get loaded in the sense, there's nothing actually forcing them in like yours does?
Correct.
Because it just is the potatoes, the brush belt gets jammed over them because of the conveyor belt, there's no way for the bristles to go. In your orientation, it wouldn't work if you just flipped it because the seeds would just bounce off because of the way the brushes work.
Absolutely.
You would have to have something actually insert the seeds into each one.
Yes, that
so
is
it's
correct.
It's not just flipping it. It's in combination with the loader.
Correct. Once you flip it, it won't work, as you point out, unless you add in the loading wheel or some equivalent technology to cause the seed to go into the belt at the speeds that the belts are going to run. And our expert testified, based on his extensive experience with belts, what the issues are that a person with a skill in the art would confront with that.
But the fact that Koenig has the seeds coming in from the bottom, that was an important element for the board.
Yes. Among many other facts, there's many facts here that the board relied on in rejecting these combinations. If the court has no further questions, I'll cede the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. You have 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I'd make three quick points here. First, the Wires and Uber cases that we cited in our brief are both reversals as a matter of law. So there, of course, you had underlying factual issues like we do here, but they found reversal as a matter of law. And again, and the public cover case is the same way. In the Wires case, the court found that reorienting a component from vertical, horizontal to vertical is well within the skill of a person, of a skilled artisan. And in the public cover case, again, there were underlying factual issues. The question was, could a skilled artisan configure a system to detect this other type of eye movement? The court said because the underlying challenge patents didn't disclose how to do that, it was presumed that you could do that. And that's what we have here. And that's why we think this is an error of law. Second point, Your Honor, is that, again, Your Honors, is that their own expert testified that the Deere patents are enabled. Again, all the Deere patents disclose is that you can have long or short bristles that could be synthetic or real, and that you place the brush belt and a loading wheel at the release position. The prior art discloses at least that much. That's pages 17 to 18 of our brief. And specifically, and I just want to correct one thing where I disagree with Mr. Rainey. He said the prior art doesn't disclose how to load seeds from above. It indisputably does. The Hedewick flooded belt loads seeds from above. The Holt flooded belt loads seeds from above. The Theme Key brush belt loads seeds from above. And Deere itself has taken the position that a flighted belt is just a brush belt is another type of flighted belt. So all we're talking about here is replacing a known type
What's
of flighted belt.
What's a flighted belt?
I'm sorry?
What is a flighted belt?
So a flighted belt, Your Honor, is like almost like on a chainsaw where you've got, you know.
It has notches?
It has little compartments.
Yes.
Little boxes in which you drop it.
Right. And whereas a brush belt, you know, as
a brush belt, because of the brushes, it doesn't have to go into a specific notch. It just gets punched down into the brush.
Well, as their own inventor described, a brush belt is just much smaller compartments. These brushes, like this.
You're going in a crack in the brush.
Correct. Versus a wider crack in the flight. And, you know, Your Honors, I would point out the fact that, remember, their claims don't require this thing to operate at any particular speed. They simply require an endless member that engages seed. The brush belt in Koenig does that. When it's paired with a loading wheel, as in Banach, that captures seed and transports them to a location, it does that. And so for that reason, Your Honor, we think the prior art discloses everything, and the board improperly held us, the prior art, to a higher standard than the challenge patents themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. We thank the parties for their argument.